Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
When the world is going haywire, especially when it comes to trade and especially when it comes to the United States and China, what do we need? Paul Sweeney, we need a double shot of Stephen Seelig. That's what we need. Managing partner for Bridge Park Advisors and, of course, former Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade at the Department of Commerce during the Obama administration. Joining us on the phone from Long Island. Stephen, how the heck are you? It's been a while.
It has. I am fine, Jason. Good to hear your voice. And please pass on my regards to Carol, and good to talk to you, Paul, as well.
I will certainly do that. Thanks for joining us. So I got to ask you, I mean, since we last talked, which was probably a month, 6 weeks ago, you know, U.S.-China relations, I feel like, have taken a turn and a turn and a turn all downward in many ways. Where are we right now?
Well, I think you're quite right. I think the relationship with China needs to be described as one under increasing duress, with the dynamic of the relationship only getting more challenging. And, you know, in our conversations in the past, we were largely focused on, you know, the trade spat that we had with China, which the current administration largely viewed in the context of our bilateral trade deficit, primarily in manufactured goods. But in the recent weeks, we've seen that really become, or that conflict become expanded and take on a number of different fronts. And the technology war has come really into focus from more than just cyber theft and intellectual property issues to just last week, as you know, the FCC labeled ZTE and Huawei as security threats. And now we're also faced with a number of ideological issues coming out of China, and those are being manifest in the recently imposed Hong Kong security laws, and of course the issue with the Uyghurs in China, and our recently just passed Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act, which was signed into law. So not only is it deteriorating, Jason, I think it is becoming more complex, and the tensions are taking on a number of different fronts.
So, Stephen, I was talking about this very topic earlier this morning, and the guest we had on challenged a premise I had, which was President Trump was primarily responsible for this increasing tension between the two countries with trade war and tariffs and rhetoric. And this guest pushed back and said, no, it's actually President Xi, in his opinion, that was kind of instigating the challenging tensions between the U.S. and China by China asserting more aggressively its presence economically, militarily, and not just in the region, but globally. How do you view that? How we got here? Is there any blame to be put around here? Is it equally shared?
No, Paul, I think it's a mistake to ascribe blame to any individual or any leader. And I think this really is a function of certain structural issues that are much more important than any one individual. And so if you look at the trade, if you look at the trade issue, it is primarily a function of the fact that China, after after being accepted into the World Trade Organization, still remains a state, a largely state-controlled economy, and has limited market access for foreign companies and supports their a large portion of their economy from the state, one. Two is, if you look at the technology issues, China, in fact, has very little flexibility here. They are going to have to, cannot rely on the U.S. and the West for technology. If they're going to move up the value chain and avoid this so-called middle-income trap, if they want to continue to grow wealth and prosperity in their country. And as it relates to the human rights issues, boy, you know, the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party has never expressed a real interest in human rights, and we've seen that, you know, for generations and as recently as Tiananmen Square. And so none of that should come as a surprise to us. So I think all of this predates Xi, predates Trump, and is fundamentally a reflection of two different systems that are largely incompatible.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization. We live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
So, Stefan, Hong Kong, how big of a deal is that, both in economic terms and financial terms, especially when it comes to our core audience, as you know, being Wall Street, but also as a marker in the evolution of China-U.S. relations?
You know, I think China would not be behaving as aggressively with Hong Kong as they have been if they didn't believe, certainly from a Chinese perspective, that the economic fallout would be limited, because they do look at the management of their economy as a core competency of the Chinese Communist Party, and obviously they're facing similar sort of pressures coming out of COVID. So I don't think they view these Hong Kong issues through an economic lens as being highly problematic. I think from our audience or your audience's perspective, you know, boy, you know, this was inevitable. We knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know it was going to necessarily happen this quickly. But I think more than anything, it points out that the Chinese view about the rule of law, because don't forget, they had an agreement that
right.
they entered into, that this sort of thing exactly wouldn't happen. But their view of about these sorts of agreements, I think, is not going to be particularly vertical, and they are going to continue to behave in a way that is in their narrow best interest.
So, Stefan, in the last block, we were chatting about China as it relates to rising tensions with the U.S., trade, tariffs, Hong Kong. I'm going to talk about the economics of China right now. Obviously, the days of double-digit growth are gone. I think the printed number that they want you to buy into is a 6% kind of GDP growth. Really give us a sense of where you think China is over the next couple of years in terms of its ability to grow its economy.
Well, look, China is clearly slowing, but they were slowing from, you know, a very rapid growth, and they will continue to be, you know, the engine of Asia. And so, you know, I do think the most interesting question for China is going to be their ability to move from a manufacturing infrastructure-based economy to a more consumer-based economy, which is, you know, and has been challenging for a number of developing economies. But that will be the key and clearly what the Chinese Communist Party is focusing on to get to the next leg of growth.
So, Stefan, got to talk deal-making because we had Uber do a deal. We had, you know, Mr. Buffett pull something off. We've had some activity when it comes to M&A. You are ultimately a deal maker. How's it feel out there right now?
You know, Jason, it's muted for sure. I think deal activity is likely to be concentrated in certain sectors, and those sectors are largely going to align with those sectors that are doing well. You know, right before you had me back, one of your commentators was talking about record highs in technology shares and in the NASDAQ. So you could imagine whether it's Uber and Postmates or other similar companies that there will be enthusiasm for deals in those sectors. But I don't think you're going to see, you know, broad-based deal-making activity across the more cyclical parts of our economy.
Stefan, I know you've spent some time in your career on the TMT space, technology, media, telecommunications. Boy, we're seeing an industry that's just been disrupted, the traditional media business like you've never seen, culminating in the Walt Disney Company buying out most of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Do you ever expect the big technology companies, Apple, Google, Facebook, to ever jump into the deep end of the pool and get into the content side of the business?
Who knows? You know, those particular buyers have unlimited capital. Those six companies that you're referencing make up something like 20% of the overall market cap of our entire equity markets. And a lot of those traditional media companies in certain sectors are obviously facing very challenging times. And so you could imagine, real deal-making activity in that in some of those areas as those companies look to take advantage of depressed valuations across the sector.
And how's Wall Street feeling right now, Stefan, just before we let you go? I mean, beyond just deal-making, you talk to a lot of very senior people on Wall Street. We're talking about kind of going back to work-ish. What's sort of the mood around the Wall Street community?
You know, I think it pretty much mirrors what's happening in the overall economy, which is a mood of uncertainty and some instability. I think people really don't know what the new normal is going to be. I think to some degree, because the markets have outperformed the real economy, there's if not enthusiasm on Wall Street, there's certainly not panic. The fixed income markets have been highly receptive to capital raising throughout this coronavirus pandemic. Even in those industries that are facing some significant challenges. And so I think in terms of Wall Street, people are expecting less M&A deal-making activity, but a pretty robust financing calendar, both on the equity and on the fixed income side, to keep folks busy.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. All right, Stefan Selig, great to catch up with you. Always a treat. Stefan Selig is managing partner for Bridge Park Advisors and a former Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade at the Department of Commerce during the Obama administration. He joined us on the phone from Long Island.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.